Blog Talk Radio.
Life seems to crush your dreams, so find your balance for all your needs. A little work, some family fun. Find your love, keep your life on the run. Told you how the story goes, so write your own script before you grow old. Live your life, laugh out loud. Own who you are, stand up proud. You gotta find what works for you. Find a balance that lets you be you.
Good evening and welcome to the Star Chamber Show live podcast. This is Stephen Zimmer coming to you live on a fine Wednesday evening in Lexington, Kentucky, and this is episode number 322 for those of you keeping score, and I'm joined tonight by the wonderful, the vivacious, the lovely Holly Phillippe, who will be joining us in stride, and with me right now on the air, the one from Parts Unknown, the man behind the hashtag Dark Style. That would be Daniel Dark. And yes, Daniel, welcome. And tonight we're gonna have a good show, my friend.
Well, it's going to be an interesting show tonight, and I think that we can make it the most enjoyable show that you will watch in a while.
So we are going to do that. We are going to make every effort. Yeah, we might have a delay on our guest.
This will be watching the show will be interesting.
Our scheduled guest, yes, that will be the first hurdle. But our scheduled guest tonight had to run on a family emergency just a short time before the show. And it was a serious emergency with an immediate family member. So not sure whether he'll be able to call in or not absolutely yet during the show. So we're just trying to get an update on that. And we'll keep you appraised. And if he does call in a little bit later in the show, of course, we'll bring him on. But we might be delayed just a little bit on that. But we do want to definitely have some cool news coming up here. And there's Sandy Lender and Clayton. And looks like the chat room's starting to get a little active. And Sandy, I don't know if you heard the first part of the show, but we'd love for you to call in if you can. Because we're going to have at least a delay with tonight's guest because of family emergencies. So if you're hearing this, Sandy, love to have you call in and share that news that you shared with me earlier today. I would love it if that is possible, and we could also talk about your workshop, the special one for Imaginarium. That would be great if it's possible. No pressure. But yes, it looks like Holly is joining us. Yes, there's Holly. There's Holly.
Hello, hello, hello.
There she is.
Not about
and Sandy had a birthday since we've last chit-chatted with her. So happy birthday, Sandy, from the Star Chamber.
Happy birthday. Yes.
And we will do you a favor and not sing for you.
Yes.
Yes.
We'll spare you that.
Yes. We'll spare you the torture.
And there's Clayton.
Oh,
he just finished a short story, so congrats. All right.
Yeah.
So what's up, Sandy? Or Sandy. What's up, Holly?
Well, I don't want to say, or unless you want me to say, but I secured a couple great guests this evening, and they're going to be coming aboard. One's a filmmaker that's well-known in the community, really up and coming, really doing well. And the other one is a multi-talented individual that is just a wonderful special effects makeup and body artist. And it's going to be a joy to have these two join us.
I tell you what, Holly, since both are going to be made as posts on the next day, over the next day, go ahead and give our Star Chamber listeners a scoop. and tell them who these two guests are.
Oh, well, cool.
They are great.
Well, we're going to have the wonderful Chase Dudley, who is a well-known filmmaker in our channel. And like I said, he's got distribution deals going. He's got a lot of good stuff. He said he's really pumping up and things are really looking up for him and excited. And he is honored to come and he's just thrilled about it. He's going to bring his family. He's got a little newborn and a couple 11-year-olds. So they'll have fun in the game hall. But he's going to be a wonderful addition to our film festival. And then we have the magical Steve-O Shepherd from the Louisville area, well-known by the Louisville folks. He is a just uber, uber talented body artist. And he does a lot of work with Herschel Zahn, who does the photos, you know, takes a lot of photos of his models and everything. But, yes, yeah, Steve-O does some great body art. He can paint, like, bathing suits. Huh?
Steve-O's coming back?
Yes. Yes, you remember Steve-O.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yes.
He's wonderful.
Great. Oh, he is. And he's such a nice individual. And he's always willing to sit down. So if anybody's got any interest in special effects or body art or whatever, he will sit down and talk to you all day long. He loves to talk and share and mentor. He's also a wonderful bartender. And he has great fun doing that, too. But, yeah, I think it's going to be a great mix this year of the film side and, the special effects artists. We've got, just all kinds. We've got directors coming. We've got cinematographers coming. So we've got the plethora, to cover the film side. And, of course, all, a ton of screenwriters. A lot of our authors have went over and actually started doing screenwriting and discovering, screenwriting. And they really enjoy that. So, yeah, we've had a lot
absolutely.
Of crossovers in the past few years. And it's going to be a really exciting year. But these two are, watch out for the announcements. We'll have all their juicy details, up then. Mm-hmm. I don't want to give it all away.
Oh, yeah.
Anybody that doesn't know Steve-O, Holly, can you put a link to his artwork in there in the chat?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Steve, put a link to his artwork. I'll get you a link. And, put that in there because, he's a phenomenal artist.
Yeah, I'll get to that in just a second. We do have a surprise guest that's going to call in while we wait to see if our featured guest tonight is able to call in with his family emergency. So I'm going to go ahead and get to the folks that brought you tonight's show first, and then we'll bring on our surprise guest here. But first, we have the wonderful, amazing Sandy Linder, the genre blender, who brought you tonight's show, as well as Per Bostet Publications. So I will go ahead and play you a little spot from Sandy, and then we're going to shoot over and tell you a little bit about Per Bostet. Here's Sandy.
We're counting down to Imaginarium 2022, and author Sandy Linder invites you to check out all the cool programming the conference has to offer, especially the Short Story Marathonarium Workshop on July 7th. Make sure you stop by Sandy's booth in the fabulous Exhibitor Hall and get a copy of the Imagine finalist novel, Concussive. You can learn more at Sandy's website at Sandy Linder, Inc. That's Sandy Linder, Inc. with a K. And we'll see you in Louisville.
Thank you very much, Sandy. I really, really appreciate that. And now we're going to give you a little bit about Per Bostet, the other group that brought you tonight's show. Per Bostet Publications is a small press based in the Louisville metro area, specializing in speculative fiction and other outside-the-box books. With 40 titles in print and ebook formats and a handful of audiobooks, Per Bostet offers a little bit of everything. Follow the investigations of Private Eye David Blaze and M.B. Dabney's An Untidy Affair, a historical mystery set during the 1985 police bombing of the Move House in Philadelphia. Or join the psychic private investigator Alan Rodriguez in New Mexico in A Handful of Dirt by Janie Franz as he tries to clear an elderly man wrongfully accused of murder. You can find these titles and more at PerBostettPublications.com, at Amazon, or you can find the press in person in conjunction in Indianapolis and Louisville's Imaginarium Convention in July and Prime Crime in Indianapolis in October. PerBostett Publications, where timeless tales unfold. So thank you to Keely, Marion, and Sarah Marion, the triumvirate of PerBostett. And now I'm going to, without further ado, bring on an award-winning author who is affectionately known in to the Star Chamber Show audiences as the Genre Blender. Prolific award winner, Sandy Leonard. Yes, she is on the show. Surprise! Your mic is on, Sandy.
Hey, hello there, everybody.
Hi, Sandy.
Hey, Sandy.
Well, first of all, I'm sad that Ren has a family emergency, and I hope that, you know, I hope it's not like a bad emergency. I hope it's just had to go do stuff, and everything's going to be okay, and it's all going to be fine. That is my hope right now. So, goodness.
Yes.
But I'm glad you get to visit with you guys.
Well, just to calm fears down, yes, it's not a, it's not like a health emergency. It's a situational emergency where, you know, I don't think it's too bad to say, but a family member, elderly family member, got locked out of their house, and so you need to go help that family member. So yeah,
you know what?
It's honest. It's been that. Yeah, that is definitely emergency because. Need to be
the right adjective, locked out instead of locked up. So,
yes.
Well, that is true.
Yeah. I'm not looking forward to that phase of my life when I start locking myself out of my car, out of my house. I feel it coming because, you know, I don't know if I'm losing my grasp on lucidity or what's happening to me, but I feel it coming, and I'm not looking forward to it. But
I already do it, Sandy. Don't feel bad.
We're already experts in that kind of behavior, so if that gives you encouragement, we're still surviving.
My son is 26 years old, and he locked himself out of his car, day before yesterday. He texted me, and he says, well, I'm sitting here under a shade tree at work waiting on the lock guy, because the key's in my car. So he literally locked his keys in his car. And he's 26.
Oh,
he does this all the time.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
And I would blame it. At that age, I just blame it on the heat. The heat just got to you, you know? That's what I would do.
Blame it on something.
Yeah. No, well, I did have really good news. Steve teased the audience a little bit ago. But, yeah, I really did. I had great news this evening. I was checking my email, and poof, there's this fabulous email from the Canadian publisher Faybreak Books. They run this contest once a year, a 3-day novella contest where, you know, you write a novel in 3 days. And for Pete's sake, I took second place. I'm so excited.
Wow.
Well,
congratulations. Oh, I know. Woohoo! Yeah, and the very, very cool thing is this is like marketing mecca because – The story is a young adult fantasy, but it's a prequel to the Choices series that Seventh Star Press is going to be releasing for me. So if the timing could just be glorious and fabulous for, you know, cross promotion, cross marketing. I mean, all sorts of great things could start happening with audience development, you know, or more audience development. In this fantasy world. So I'm kind of excited about that.
well done, Sandy Linder.
Thank you.
I'm not surprised, but yes, congratulations. I'm glad they also recognize your great skill at storytelling and writing. Aww. This is awesome news. So
Thank you.
And brand new. Just came in today, and so you kicked off your new year since you just had a birthday very well. So yeah, you got the momentum already.
Huh. That's right. That's a really good point. I'm starting this new year. Start the new year on a good note. Yeah, could use
on
it.
The Sandy Leonard calendar. Yes. And not too long till we actually get to see you in person, and because you have a couple spaces too, and the I'm proud to say sold out Expo Hall. All spaces are gone. Ooh. We do have space in Creative Alley, however. Anyone listening, you can reserve until June 26th. We do have some tables left in Creative Alley, but the main Expo Hall area is sold out, and Sandy has a couple of those spaces, and so yes. We will be seeing a lot of you interacting with the fans there very shortly.
Very good. Well, and let me say something about that Creative Alley. I'm a little jealous of the folks who get to be or the folks who have elected to get a table out in the Creative Alley because there's a lot of traffic moving back and forth through that area. I mean, you refer to an alley, sometimes you think of like a dark, crowded alley or a dark and dank alley being all mysterious. No. Creative's Alley at Imaginarium is like a thoroughfare. Everyone walks through there to get from point A to point B to point C to point D. It is a main thoroughfare. So everyone's walking through there. Everyone's seeing what you've got on your table. Everyone's getting, pulled in to see what you've got for sale. They're looking at your wares. You know what I mean? And so, when I was walking past Creative's Alley 1,000 times last year, I kept getting sucked into the cool stuff I was seeing, and I was thinking, doggone it. I should have bought a table out here. But the exhibit hall was just as good, and that was fine. But I was kind of jealous of the folks who took advantage of Creative Alley because there was just so much traffic moving back and forth. Yeah.
Yeah.
But there you go.
It's in a good spot.
Half a dozen to one.
It is, mate.
Six to the other. Yeah.
Well, because if you have a lot, the thing is, if you have a lot of things that you're going to sit out, you're going to want to be in the expo hall, because it's just easier to manage and you don't have to secure your stuff at night and worry about all that stuff. So that's good.
Well,
that's
a
good thing. But if you just got a few things, man, Creative Valley's worth that.
Yeah, it is superb. Mm-hmm. Well, I've got 20 titles. So if I bring, if I bring 15 of my titles, I got to spread that stuff out across a couple tables.
Yeah.
So, the exhibit hall is where I need to be. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and this year, I'm giving away a big old basket of stuff.
Yes.
So I've got this huge basket that I've got to put out on the table, too. So, I'm sure the audience wants to hear my woes.
Sandy is going to raffle off a baby cassowary for the brave bird keeper.
There'll be a special egg.
Yeah. But, Sandy's table is always awesome and well-trafficked. So, definitely you have to stop by and see her there. But Sandy is also going to be involved in the programming. I mean, it's like Sandy is involved in all areas of Imaginarium. She's going to be hailed as a sponsor, and she's an exhibitor.
Yes.
She's a panelist.
Oh, and
I do want to talk about
the special workshop you're doing. And this is on the Thursday night before Imaginarium starts. So if you are in town, if you're staying that Thursday night to get ready for Friday, Sandy will be doing her workshop Thursday evening, which is also the same time that you can do some early setup. So you can bring your stuff and start setting up or whatever, and then also attend Sandy's workshop because you'll have like an hour leeway there, So, this is exciting. So please tell them about your workshop.
Okay. Well, this workshop is serving like multiple purposes because what we're going to do is put together a short story anthology. And the goal of the short story anthology is to have sort of a marketing piece for the 10-year anniversary of Imaginarium. See, Seven Star Press is going to publish this short story anthology and use it, so to speak, as a marketing tool for the 10-year anniversary. Here's our short story anthology. Buy this and see what creative people at Imaginarium write, see what they come up with, see what their brains, think of for cool short stories. So we need some people to sit down and write some cool short stories for the anthology. So you guys know I'm a marathon writing participant. I just won second place in this writing marathon that I'm so excited about, right? So what I'm doing is on Thursday night doing like a quick like marathon writing workshop for like maybe 20 or 30 minutes talking about here are some pointers, here are some tips for marathon writing, for, whether it's the 24-hour poetry marathon, which I'm doing this coming weekend, you know, that sort of thing, just talking through the participants. Here's how to do marathon writing. And then for 3 hours, we are going to write short stories. Each person in the workshop is going to write a short story. And at the end of that 3 hours, turn it over to me. I'm a professional editor. I will edit it. I will help you with it. If I need to come back to you and we need to work through some stuff, we will do that. And you will be published in the anthology. That's what we're doing in the workshops Thursday night. So what we need
is folks to,
you know, more people sign up because, you know, the more the merrier. Let's make this thing awesome and cool, and let's get a lot of different brains with a lot of different creative ideas writing short stories. And everything is on the table. It, you know, we want to keep it PG-13, but everything is on the table. I mean, if you write fantasy, I'm extremely excited. But, you know, sci-fi writers, horror writers, mystery writers, romance writers, I mean, anything. You know, children's writers. If you want to write a children's short story, let's do it. Let's put this in there and make it fun and creative and exciting.
Yes,
I want everything in there. So I need lots of writers to come in and just enjoy and create and just get the juices flowing for an awesome kickoff to this weekend.
And we're going to have special what would you call it?
Inspiration.
Eye candy. Inspiration. There you go. Special inspiration during the writing session too. So you guys will
That's
be surprised
right.
and it will be really deep.
Got a question for you, Sandy. Right, it looks like Clayton might actually be getting interested in this. He wanted to know if the raw manuscripts needs to be electronic. He's not asking about the publishing format afterwards, which will be print and ebook, but the raw manuscripts. I assume that he means whether you can write by hand
during
during the
workshop.
During the workshop, you can write in whatever method is best for your creative flow. If you look at the workshop description that's on the Imaginarium website, under the Panels and Workshop tab, at the very bottom, the very last one, the workshop for the Marathonarium, the short story Marathonarium, it describes, you know, what I advise each participant to bring. And I say, you know, bring a notebook, pen, a backup pen in case that one runs out of ink, bring a tablet or a laptop, whatever device you want to write on. Bring it. We will have electricity and extension cords, you know, so that you can plug that thing in just in case, you know, if your battery starts to go.
Very comfy chairs. Very comfy chairs.
Yes. Yeah.
This is going to be on wax tablet or vellum or parchment, because Clayton loves old school. So, you know, what if he shows up and
has
some wax tablets or vellum
there you
or
go.
Parchment?
Whatever you want. You can do that.
I would put it past Clayton. He would do something like that.
Stone chisel.
stone, like Moses.
The folks at the hotel will be like, what is this chipping sound that we keep hearing? We're just chiseling away at some tablets in here.
Just Clayton. Just Clayton writing these books. It's okay.
We are creating.
That's right. That's right.
What is the length of the short stories that you're looking at getting out of it?
Well, it's 3 hours, and I can type 1,000 words in an hour. So about 3,000 words, but no one has to be that long with it, or if you can type faster than that, go longer than that. I did not answer your question, Daniel. The short story can be anywhere from 500 words to 5,000. It's a range. It's whatever your creativity allows to happen.
Yeah, I assume that working with you in the editing phase afterwards, if stuff needs to be fleshed out or added to, I mean, the work can grow as long as the feed is there, you know, through the workshop, I'm assuming. Clayton said to tell you he may choose Sumerian clay tablets as his format.
That's fine. And he welcomes it all. That's fine.
I may have to come just to watch Clayton work if he does that.
How good reading Sanskrit?
Oh, go ahead.
Sanskrit?
What?
Now, see, if it's in Sanskrit, you're going to have to transcribe it first and then get it to me. I don't trust my translation skills.
Yeah, let me tell you, it gives you nightmares and formatting when you have to do foreign language attributes.
Went
a major adventure in a manuscript that where it imported some foreign language attributes, and it was the most obscure situation I've encountered. So, yeah, let's definitely try to stick at least just the basic stuff.
Have Stephen come in and do the translation for Runic. And
there you go. Stephen can do it. All of his research he does on history and obscure history.
Hey, it's off topic, but my research came through in one trivia night at the local restaurant the other night. And I had answered some questions that pulled our team out of second place in the second half and won and got us our gift certificate for the establishment.
Yeah,
it did. And it was directly.
None of us knew the answer. None of us
knew
it. And Steve's like, I know that.
Yep. Strictly, and the questions were due to book research. So, yes, your book research may pay off. If not in book sales, in trivia contests, it can happen.
Do any of you know, let me ask you this. Do any of you know the capital of Bulgaria?
Bulgaria? Nope.
See? We didn't either.
Nope.
Daniel?
Well, bonus, yeah.
Yeah. What was it, Steve? I don't even remember.
Oh, just the one question about Sofia. Yeah, the capital of Bulgaria. But that was one. But that was partly due to it because I do a lot of I've done a lot of research in Eastern Europe for some of the book stuff. But yeah, some of the other questions were just spot on.
Yeah, it was crazy. I'm like, I have no clue.
Yeah.
No clue.
Yeah.
None.
So, but anyway, that's kind of off topic. But yes, research does help.
Yeah, let's go ahead. I just wanted to let people know there is when you guys go to the entertheimaginarium.com site, go to the 2022 panels and workshops. And like Sandy said, very bottom, you'll see the short story marathon workshop link. And there is a small fee with this. For a reason, because Sandy's got to go through and edit all these, and she is a professional editor. And then, you know, the cost, we have to, you know, put this together, print it, we have to, you know, do all that. So there is a small $42 fee, but by going to that sign-up link, you can pay your fee, you can, you know, put in all your info for Sandy so she can get in contact with you and everything right there from that link at the bottom of the 2022 panels and workshops.
Perfect.
Correct.
Perfect.
That's it.
Yeah, because I'm reaching out to everyone beforehand just to make sure everybody knows what they're bringing, just everybody has a good meal beforehand. Because, I mean, this is 3 hours of writing. I mean, once we start writing, I mean, it's a marathon. We start writing, we don't stop, you know.
Bring snacks. Bring drinks.
Well, I'm going to have snacks. I'm going to have snacks for everybody, so they don't have to worry about that. But I'm making sure everyone knows, you know, to have a good meal beforehand, so that you're not that you're not hungry, so that you're nourish yourself before you arrive. You know, that sort of thing. But I'll have some, you know, caffeine in the room. I'll have some. There'll be a water station in the room. You know, that sort of thing will be there for them. They don't have to fret about that. I mean, that's part of the $42, you know, that they're paying for. So it's
Right.
People's going to be set. There's going to be electricity. But I just want to, you know, touch base with folks before we get to the room, before we get to Imaginarium, and make sure they know what they're getting into. This is
right.
This is serious. We're going to be creative. We're going to have fun. But this is serious business, man.
Yes,
these marathons are awesome.
And it will be printed. So this is something that you're actually going to have published. So this is serious. This is, you're going to be in a room full of other creative writers that are, you know, going to be creating with you, which really puts the vibes out and really ramps up the juices and you can bounce off of each other. So yeah, it's going to be, it's going to be neat to see. And it starts at 5:30.
You're going to get a pro quality product at the end that is delivered by a pro editor. So, you know, factor that into the process there. But yeah, you're going to end up with pro quality product that's delivered by a pro editor. So yeah, that's not small.
And it starts at 5:30 and runs to 8:30. And early setup for like vendors is from 4 to 7. So if you do want to set up, you'll still have over an hour leeway there to come at 4 o'clock. You know, get your stuff set up, or get it there, you know, and then get to the workshop, which will be right there, close, you know, and a few rooms down at 5:30. So you have plenty of time. No rush.
We need to have fun. We need to have fun with Sandy's word, because I love the word marathonarium, and we need to have like T-shirts.
Yeah,
like
that's cool.
Joe Garcia at Fast Custom Shirts has done our shirts all 9 years, and great guy, just so honest and nice, and does good work, such good work. We're gonna get him to have to make a T-shirt for those that complete it that say that I completed Sandy Lender's Marathonarium, and lots of T-shirts like that made.
Oh, that's cool.
that
I love
that. Awesome. But yeah, I'll talk to Joe about that.
I tell you guys, those writing marathons are just. There's something about the creative surge you get out of a writing marathon. I'm so looking forward to the poetry marathon this weekend. I mean, it's 24 hours. You write a poem an hour for 24 hours. And there's a community of poets that do it. And, you know, I mean, you can sit down and you can write, you know, poetry on your own for a weekend if you wanted to, and that's real nice. But when you've got a community of poets around the world who are doing this with you, and all of you are posting poems to the same website every hour, you're like building off of each other's creative energy. And that is amazing. There's something about that creative synergy that just fires me up. And I'm looking forward to sharing, you know, a piece of that with other writers at Imaginarium, you know, that Thursday night. There's a community, and I've said this on this program before, there's a community at Imaginarium that just can't be beat, you know? The folks that gather, the family that gathers and supports one another at Imaginarium it's uplifting. It's energizing. And this year we get to add this creative writing element at the beginning that I'm really excited about. And I'm hoping we get a whole lot of folks to participate in that alongside one another. There's just a creative momentum that comes off of that weekend anyway. So adding this element to it is exciting to me. I hope other people feel that excitement too, because I'm digging it.
Yeah. If I had time, I would do it. I think it'd be so much fun. But of course, I don't have the time. But I'll be busy.
You're a little bit busy.
Yeah,
you have a couple things happening.
Just a little bit. But yeah, I would love to actually do one of these. I think it's so cool, you know. And as I said, just to be around a bunch of other, you know, creatives sitting there creating. I mean, that's special.
Yeah.
That is special.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
I got a couple things from Clayton that are relevant here.
Okay.
He was going to ask, but I can answer this. He is asking about a schedule to pick up when he checks in, or a printer-friendly version of the schedule online. Clayton, there will be a printed program that all attendees will be given at the event. But in addition, late next week, either Thursday or Friday, we will be putting up a PDF of that same program online to download, and you can, and it'll be a print friendly PDF, and you, for you to use either digitally or you can print your own out. But it will be out toward the end of next week, probably neighborhood of Friday, and of course that's a full week ahead of the event itself. But yeah, there will be a program to provided both digitally and in print, and it looks like. Clayton will not be bringing food. He said to tell you, Sandy, that he'll be bringing a bottle. So he's going to go with the liquid diet, I think.
Oh, no. I tell you what, that is one thing I cannot do when I'm writing. If I'm going to be on like a writing jag for a while, I cannot drink alcohol while I'm writing because it like slows me down. You know, alcohol is a depressant, and for some reason, I've got to have caffeine when I'm writing, when I'm creating.
Yep.
Usually, it's when I finish a writing jag, then I can have a drink.
Right.
But if I do it before I start writing, oh no, I'll pass out.
Yeah, my famous after high school attempt to drink before and while writing, it taught me, you know, then I was not one of those kind of writers. There are some.
Oh, you know.
I do great drinking while writing. Nope. I'm not one of those people. It was a disaster.
Yeah, I can't.
I've spoken of it on the show before. But at the time, I thought it was the best literature that's ever been written in the history of literature. But then later, it became revealed this is not so, unfortunately.
This is not so.
it was kind of rough. But yeah, Clayton is more of the Hemingway type writer. So
there you go.
He
yeah.
can do it.
Yeah.
And
if
Clayton,
you do bring a bottle, though, let me tell you. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
There's a liquor law problem. If you do bring a bottle, you have to hide that sucker because we're not allowed to have the bottles of our own in any of the panel rooms or the hallways or nothing. You can have them in your room. You can do whatever you want in your room because that's your room.
Yeah, room parties.
But we can't have them because there's a bar there, and also they serve, you know, alcohol with the, you know, cash bar and stuff. And they said something to do with liquor laws that they can't, you can't have any outside alcohol.
ABC rules.
So we just have to be, you have to be careful.
About that. Yeah.
Wait a minute now. Now, we've got a panel called Books and Booze.
We do.
How are you doing that?
Yeah, the panel is like giving a presentation. It's a little different.
I'm doing it like
a presentation in official capacity, but not like just a free-for-all with the crowd.
we're not giving it out to the crowd, you know, and everybody.
Got
it. And we're hoping I did it late, so, and where I'm doing it at, you know, they're obviously not going to be checking every single room on us constantly because they like us. They like our group. So we're fine. I'll just keep an eye out. We're fine.
Yeah, and Clayton, just so you know, you are coming into a very nice facility. He's asking if there's porta potties. This is a very nice hotel, state-of-the-art, very modern facilities. No, they don't have bidets, and you may be one of those fancy people that loves the European bidets, but they don't have those. But, yes, it's a very modern, clean, current, well-maintained bathrooms that are there. Yes, so don't worry.
All remodeled, all done. It's not like the bomb zone. Doesn't look like they're in the middle of a remodel. They're done. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
They are.
Nice,
they have help.
Nice facility.
They're very helpful. And there's a bar there and a restaurant there. We don't even have to leave, which is wonderful. There's other places close.
Great.
I mean, real close. Yeah. If you want to go to like IHOP or all that, it's just right there. You know, they're not
Clayton will go to the liquor barn for sure. I know Clayton will get the liquor
barn. It's right across the street.
Right across the street. Yeah.
We're in a good spot.
It's a good spot, Clayton. Fear not. Modern facility, air conditioning work. You're going to be very pleased with the quality of the venue. So no worries there. Everybody that went last year is very excited about it.
Oh yeah.
So
definitely.
I think Clayton's getting revved
up. No construction workers tried to come into my room. I mean, it was awesome.
Right.
We've been through that before. Oh,
that happened to us too.
Yeah,
on our path. Yes.
I'm like, nope.
Yeah. Much different ball game, and I think that's a big reason why I think this year has gotten a real. We've grown a bit every single year, but we've had a real jump this year, especially with the number of hotel rooms that are being reserved. And I think that's directly because of the people that experienced it last year have talked about, you know, how good it is and the venue being up to par, which is good.
Truth.
So.
Well, and you do have some good guests coming. I mean, your guest of honor, come on.
Wow, yes.
No,
yeah,
he cannot beat that. Mm-mm.
Yeah,
Ellen Doutlow is amazing. I mean, and she's coming off another big award. She got another Bram Stoker.
Nice.
Jeff Strand and Michael Noss are all three coming off new Bram Stoker awards, and we got all three of them coming, and that's pretty crazy.
Fantastic.
That doesn't tell you what kind of people we have. I don't know what does, because we have three major literature award winners coming here, you know, so that's and that's just that's the tip of the iceberg, because if you look down our guest list, I mean, it's phenomenal. I mean, just if you read the bios, I encourage people to read the bios. I mean, because they are just, people have so much experience and skill and recognitions and bestsellers, and it's massive this year. So,
well, and I've noticed that quite a number of like a couple of the spotlighted guests and a number of the panelists, they have the title of publisher in their bio. I mean, they might be listed as an author, or they might be listed as a screenwriter, but they're also a publisher. And that is an important item for listeners, you know, to pay attention to. I mean, if you are interested in being published, if you've not been published before, or if you've been, you know, dabbling in it, there are going to be publishers that you can sit down and talk to at this convention. They're approachable, they're nice people, and this is the way that non-agented writers can get their foot in the door. That's how I did it, you know, a couple dozen years ago. You know, I met with a publisher at a writer's conference. I sat down and I talked to him, and, you know, 15 minutes later he said, send me your first three chapters, and the rest is history. I mean, that's how it happened, and that's how you make it happen at these conventions. You go and you look for the people who have the word publisher behind their name. And when I counted, I think it's been 2 months ago now, there were 17 of those on your list. I think it was editor and publisher. I think those two were the
editor
words I was
publisher.
Looking for. Editor and publisher. And there were 17 of them. That's nothing to sneeze at, okay? And since then, you've added more. So there are plenty of opportunities for people who are looking for advice, looking for representation, looking for help with editing, and looking to be published, to sit down and talk to these people in a nice, comfortable, family-type setting. It's a no-brainer to show up.
And we have that panel.
I would like to point out.
We have a panel, indie versus traditional publishing, too, where you'll meet a lot, and that would be phenomenal for people to go to that are looking for representation or, you know, have questions to ask. That would be a good one to attend.
It really would.
And I'd like to point out, though, also that Sandy is talking about those that are listed as spotlighted guests and panelists. We also have a large number of publishers who are coming in the expo who are not necessarily participating as panelists and spotlighted guests. We have at least a dozen that are just setting up as publishers in the expo. So I would say that you have at least 30 presses or more that you can definitely have an easy time interacting with in all different genres. And I think the number is higher if I were to go comb through everything. But at least about 30 publishers are going to be on hand there.
Jetmaster Press have been just very busy, but they couldn't stand it, and they couldn't stand missing Imaginarium. They can't bring their whole big setup for the press, but Gene Rowley and Kyle Hanna will be there. They're going to have their own books and be, you know, just representing themselves, but they're there because they are Jumpmaster Press. So
they are
Jumpmaster
Press.
They are Jumpmaster Press.
Clayton has a serious legal question, and I'll try to tackle this, and Sandy can definitely add her perspective, and Daniel. But can I have my book or books published by more than one publisher? Is everything exclusive? As far as that goes, I would say yes, you can have different series with different publishers. It happens all the time. You can be a hybrid author where you self-publish some things and have other things with one or more publishers. You wouldn't have the same series published by more than one publisher. I mean, obviously, you know, that particular series is going to be exclusive to one publisher. But, yeah, there's nothing wrong with you taking, like, one project and one genre to this publisher that's suited for that, and you have, like, you know, you have a horror novel or something like that, and you have a horror publisher who's really good at that, take it there, and you take your fantasy series to the fantasy publisher. No, there's nothing wrong with that at all. I mean, that's how I feel, and lots of authors operate that way. But go ahead and comment on that, Sandy and Daniel.
I'll tell you something, Stephen and Clayton. I had my Dragons in Space series, which is a young adult sci-fi fantasy kind of blended surprise, kind of blended series. The Space Spiders. The first book was published by Night Wolf Publishing. The second book was published by Arca Books Publishing. And both of those publishers closed their doors. And so I took those two first books and I redid them. I re-edited them myself. I redid the covers, and I gave the whole series a whole new look, and now I self-published that series. And I just took it in-house. I took it in-house to Sandy Linder, and I do that myself now. So that was kind of a weird series in that different publishers took care of it originally, but that was because Night Wolf Publishing closed its doors. So I went to my fantasy publisher, Arca Books. I'm like, hey, Bob, Night Wolf just closed, so can we do this series here? Yeah, sure. And, you know, because we already had a relationship with my Choices series, he was fine with that.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, that was just kind of a weird situation for that series to be with different publishers. But I agree with you completely, Stephen, that typically if you've got a series, it's going to be with one publisher. Unless that publisher goes out of business. Yeah.
Right. And it's all about reading the fine print, the contracts.
No money goes to the publisher.
On how the contract is written, on whether you're going to be able to do that or not. And also, if the contract is not written to where they are sole publisher to the series, you can do exactly what Sandy's talking about. And also you could, you know, you can redo your book. Say you've got one with that publisher and you have a falling out with that publisher. Well, they may own their publishing of that book. But if you cover on it and you redo the, like Sandy talked about, she re-edited the book, maybe added stuff to it, took away things, made a new book out of it. Then at that point, it is a new book. It's a new ISBN and stuff that you're going to be putting on it.
Correct. And then something I can not repeat enough is that as far as red flags go, no money should be going out from you to the publisher in a legitimate situation, unless it's to buy book stock for you to sell yourself at book events. Like you buy some copies of your own book wholesale from a publisher to sell at book events, where you keep the profit margin. That's okay. You shouldn't be going out of pocket on editing, on cover art, nothing like that. You shouldn't be spending on any of that. So, yeah, make sure you do that. Clayton's getting us some good questions here. And go ahead, and I don't care your all's insights on this, and I'll be glad to comment too. Clayton's got 14 titles, 14 books, and he wanted to ask about the expo and the various publishers. How does he show them 14 books? Does he take a backpack with a lot of copies to hand out, or is it best to give a link to Amazon? How do you handle that situation? What's your all's thoughts?
You know what I would do, and this is Sandy. I don't know. This is just what Sandy would do. I would take like my top three that I feel strongest with. I would research the publishers that are going to be there, and I would target. Like I would take my three top books, and I would target which publishers would be most likely to accept those titles. Which publishers match those books? That's what I would do. And I would go to those publishers with that book in my hand and say, hello, and give them my elevator pitch and see if they're biting and see if I can hook them. That's what I would do. I wouldn't try to go up to like Hydra Publications and say, I've got 14 books. They span blah, blah, blah. I would not. Sandy wouldn't do that. I would say to Hydra Publications, I have this mystery novel that covers blah and blah and blah. That's what I would do. I would target. But see, I'm very anal retentive and a type A personality, so I do a lot of research ahead of things. That's mm-hmm. my brain. So my brain is not like everybody else's brain. Everyone's got to do their own thing. But that's what I would do. I would target and hone in.
Yeah, you want to find out who actually is going to be there, that's going to be looking at it, what they're looking for, and also, you know, find out about the company that they work for so that you can talk business to them and not just talk book to them.
Mm-hmm. Right. There you go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Good. Yeah.
It's like if you're shopping for a literary agent. Because if you're looking mm-hmm. for a literary agent to if you want to sell your fantasy manuscript to a literary agent, you won't go to a literary agent for for memoirs. You won't go to a guy who likes to do memoirs. You're going to go to Don Moss. You're going to go to Lucien Diver. You're going to go to one of those because they do fantasy, right? The same with your publisher at Imaginarium. You're going to find the one who's into what you've got, so you can talk, like Danny said, you can talk business with them. Apples uh-huh. to apples.
Yes, and Holly, do you want to comment on that question from Clayton, from perspective
well,
of the
I
publisher?
I have to say, I think they pretty well covered it. Like mm-hmm. I said, it's all about reading the fine print, asking questions. Don't just throw everything at them and do your elevator pitch and, you know, just leave it at that. Ask questions, you know, like, or ask questions with other authors that are with that publisher. Get a hold of some, look and see who's all with that publisher. And my advice is to talk to some of them authors. Don't take just one of their opinions. Get a few, you know what I'm saying? Get a few opinions varied, and then you'll kind of be able to judge for yourself if, okay, this is going to be the right fit for me. I feel good about it. You know, this is where I want this series to go or that series or all of them. You know, there are some authors that do stay with one publisher, and they publish all their books with that one publisher, and that's great. But, you know, not everybody does that. Some people got, you know, like, I don't know, a horror, like if they're writing horror, they might put it with one person. If they got children's books, they might go with the other, because not every publisher handles, you know, multi-genres. Some may be only speculative fiction. Some may be only children's. So you got to do your research. Yeah.
Yeah. Now I'm going to comment too. I'm going to kind of add to what Sandy was saying. She's definitely going along the right path on this, I think. For sure.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you want to Yeah, you don't want to go up to a publisher that's not a publisher of the kind of work that you do, because they'll smell that out mm-hmm. really quick. You haven't done your homework,
right.
and it impresses a publisher when you bother to learn something about them. And the thing is, yeah, I know you're talking about you have your Imperium trilogy, Clayton, American Imperium trilogy that you self-published, and you want to find maybe say a small press home. No, you don't have to give them the entire trilogy in hard copy. Don't worry about that. You're going to go up to them, discuss, let them be aware that you have a trilogy that you're wanting to find a publisher home for. You're going to, give them, like Sandy said, your pitch. If you have like book one to hand them, possibly if they ask for it, that's fine. But usually, I mean, that's more than enough to have on hand is if they're interested in pursuing that further. They're not going to expect you to give them all three books like right there. I mean, they're going to,
right.
if they are impressed with book one, they're not going to move forward. I mean, so yeah, don't feel like you have to carry a trilogy for every publisher. Just take a few copies of your book one. That way, if you get into discussion and tell them it's a pre-existing self-published series that, you haven't really gotten to get out there much because you'd like to work with a publisher, they might ask check out the book one. And I think that's all you'd have to worry about. I don't think you have to worry about having three for everybody.
And it should not have taken me by surprise, but it did. I handed the first book of my Dragons in Space series to a publisher, and because I wanted him to read it in view of a screenplay. Like, could this be turned into a screenplay? Could we move forward with that idea? And his response to me was, "Ooh, do you have it in electronic format that you could hand me?" And doggone, no, I did not. I did not have a thumb drive in my back pocket with the book, with the manuscript, that I could hand to him instead. And I was bummed that I didn't. I hadn't thought of that. So that's something to think about, too, is before you go to Imaginarium, throw that first book in the series or in the trilogy on a thumb drive. Throw the manuscript on a thumb drive. Uh-huh. PDF,
yep.
Copyright it, whatever you need to do to protect yourself. Throw it on a thumb drive. So if the person says to you, "Oh, I don't want to throw this in a suitcase. Do you have it in electronic format?" Well, yes, I do. Here's my thumb drive. Mm-hmm.
Good point.
Put a sticker on that thumb drive that has your name. Something like that. Branding.
Yeah.
That way you don't have to say, "Ooh, I'll email that to you," and give them the opportunity to forget the conversation. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
The other thing that I wanted to bring up on that is, do not regurgitate on them.
Oh.
What I mean by that is, do not tell them everything about your book. Let them find out.
Lord.
Oh God. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh God, you're so right, Daniel.
Yeah, Holly and I have gotten trapped at our tables having to listen to every last detail of somebody's book before.
Point. Thank you for bringing
it
up.
It is the most draining experience ever for a publisher, and not advised.
No.
Yeah, we've been a captive audience
before. Now, if you say, "Hey, when you've got a few minutes, I would like to talk to you about this really cool book I'm writing or I'm working on. When do you have a few minutes? When would be a good time to talk?" That's wonderful. Or give us a quick little bam, bam, bam. Here's an idea I had. It's about this, but I'll talk to you about it when you're less busy, or, when would be a good time. And we can get each other's details, emails, whatever, or say, "I'll meet you at the bar at, 4 o'clock, whatever. At the hotel, we're at Imaginarium. It's so much better because people will literally, and we've all been here, will block your vendor table. We've been to they've completely blocked your vendor table talking to you about this book. And I like to hear people's ideas, and I know they're excited, and they want to tell you, that's fine, but that's not the time or place to block other people trying to come by and maybe want to purchase your book.
Right.
Purchase your book.
And honestly, if you could not tells, if you cannot get your answers to your questions done and answer their questions in 10 minutes about your book, you need to practice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, at least.
Right.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because Clayton has 100%. A lot of it's an interesting situation because, you know, his book is, I mean, it's amazing. It's a, you know, it's got a little elements of dystopian. It's set in a future history. It's got sci-fi elements, militaria. It's got even like a little bit of horror. It's got a lot of politics, espionage. It's got a lot of genres kind of blend, you know, like Andy will appreciate that as a genre blender.
Oh,
it's got a lot of
excellent.
Blending of genres. So he can actually appeal to a cross group of publishers. I mean, definitely not, mm-hmm. yeah, definitely can look at more than one publisher in that room a certain part of his series would appeal to. So it's a very interesting mm-hmm. situation, but he's, it says he's buying bulk thumb drives right now, and he's going to take the thumb drive to his postcards that he's going to introduce with. So I think Clayton,
you
you're
go.
On the right track.
There you
there
go.
You
I'll tell
and
you
a
quick story that back when Archibooks Publishing was still located in like Cape Coral, Florida, Bob and I had tables next to one another at a book event, and he had a signal that if someone was like parked in front of his table, or if someone was just mm-hmm. going too long-winded on a story or a pitch or something, he would give me a signal. And that was the signal for me to come over to his table and move that person along. I'm like, okay,
oh,
I can do that
smart.
For you.
That's actually very smart. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Honestly, mm-hmm. is to get your table neighbors to actually kind of watch out. We all watch out for each other.
Oh, yeah.
That's good. That's good advice. 100%. Yeah, because it's just courtesy. I mean, we shouldn't do it to others. But I know people want to talk to me and stuff, and I always make mm-hmm. it a point to go around. I try to talk to all my vendors, but I will watch. I watch out of the corner of my eye, and if I see somebody coming along, I scoot over to the end of the table. You know, I'm sure you've all seen me do it. I'll walk over to the end of the table, or I'll say, I'll catch you in a little bit, you know, and leave.
Mm-hmm.
I try to watch. And that's just out of respect. I mean, you're there to network and learn, but you're also there to sell books. If you got a vending table and you're vending at that time, you're there to sell books and to share your work with others that come by and are interested in meeting you, mm-hmm. fans of yours, or, you know, new fans you could acquire. So, it's your time.
And what you do, you know, like if you're like me and Holly happens to be there at the table and somebody comes up to you that's clearly going to tell you every last detail of their manuscript for the next 45 minutes, what you do is just say, well, Holly is the one that really needs to hear this. Excuse me, I'm going to go, but you tell Holly about this and then leave.
Thanks. Thanks.
Poor Holly.
Is that what you do?
I'm used to that, though. I can't go anywhere being an empath. I go into Walmart, and people tell me their whole life story. I mean, the Stephen knows. He goes, you know, anywhere I go, I get people's whole life story, and I never ask.
True story.
I didn't ask for it. They just offer it up, and just like, blah, it all comes out, you know, word by word.
Random people
in
Walmart,
like,
Kroger, they will come up to Holly and just feel compelled to tell her their life stories. It's the,
everything,
it's,
and I counsel them. I give them my opinion or whatever.
Yeah. It's that unusual.
I guess they, she looks like a therapist, you know.
It's fascinating to watch.
They don't realize they're going to get an honest opinion. That's a lot of it. They're going to get an honest opinion. I'm not going to lie to them. You know,
yeah.
I will give them an honest opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, Clayton says he's going to ignore the hell out of Holly at the con. No, you want to make sure you tell Holly every last detail of your manuscript. Corner her and tell her everything about you. Even though I already know everything about your book.
You can't ignore me, Clayton. I know better than that. He likes to get me riled up, so I know he can't. He cannot.
No, Clayton.
He won't be able to stand it.
Now, I have an advantage of you all because I've actually seen on Clayton's Instagram that he has done cosplay before. But he may be in cosplay mode. You may not recognize him when he comes up. So you got to be aware of that.
He's laughing.
He could be cosplaying. And that could be fun. I hope he does because we got a good group of cosplayers coming. So.
Oh, man. I want to so bad. Have you watched Gentleman Jack yet? Either you or Daniel, Sandy.
I have not.
Gentleman Jack?
Not yet. I haven't seen it yet now.
Victorian era. Yeah.
Oh, my God. There's this lady who is my soulmate, my spirit animal, if there ever was one. Her name was Ann Lister, and she was a real lady. I mean, this was a real lady that lived during the earlier 1800s. It was right on that cusp of Victoria. Very
Victorian.
Close to Victoria.
Yeah,
very close to Queen Victoria coming about. Mm-hmm. But she had, like, chronicled her whole life. She put it out in journals and diaries every day, what she did. She was like the first out-at lesbian of that time. But man, she was a business person like you would never believe. And more unlike, we talked about more on like the conservative side as far as like, you know, issues about business and stuff like that.
She's the coolest
person. And she wore a top hat and this black long duster and, you know, this vest with the pocket key, you know, the pocket watch. And I'm like, I want to cosplay her so bad. Because the show is great because Steven's like, oh, my God, the two of you, the similarities is uncanny. And I could definitely, because she walks in a room, she like owns the room, and you know, she's, you know,
really
person in charge. Yeah, she's great, and it is a phenomenal.
Holly has a style very similar to her, and so it's really interesting. For me, it's fun to watch because I'm always like, ha, she's like Holly, ha, it's just like Holly. And but she's it's a good show, and setting that
it's crossing
the border of the Victorian era. It's coming right over into it. It's right at that border.
Mm-hmm.
So you get the kind of Victorian aesthetic and all. I mean, they're just coming in with steam engines and rail and starting to threaten the canals.
Yeah,
and
the railroad, all that. So
she's a true businesswoman. I mean, her business acumen is spot on, and she's way ahead of the others in the area, and she's picking up on the changes that are coming. And it's kind of neat just to see how she has to react in that climate. You know, because she's definitely a strong character. But getting back to it, Clayton, you would do well. Yeah,
check
anime
it out.
Cosplay is fine. Absolutely. I mean, we encourage all cosplay, so don't you worry about that. And then, because Clayton said most of his cosplay is anime, that's absolutely
fine.
That's
all right.
And,
we don't care.
And then Holly is Gentleman Jack, and then I'm going to come as as Albert, my cat. That's what I'm plotting.
Me and Daniel could get some killer pictures. Do you get it, Daniel? Me and you could get some killer pictures, you know, if I did the cosplay.
Yeah.
Killer pictures. I don't think Zimmer actually got that. I made a pun. I thought it was pretty good.
No, I got it.
I had to take the phone away from my face to groan.
I had to turn my mic off to groan really quick, too. but Clayton says he can't allow the cosplay to interfere with the business panels. No, that's the thing about Imaginarium. You can go daytime in the business side and then switch to the fun side in the kind of like a mullet, you know, party business in the front, party in the back.
That's the hairstyle,
the mullet. We've got the business during the day, and then in the evening, everybody kind of relaxes and has a little fun, and that's when the entertainment and cosplay really kick in. Cosplay groups.
And we do have the cosplay, the costume contest on right after the awards at 8:30 on Saturday, and then we go into the ball. Some people dress up for the Imaginarium Ball. Some people don't. So
that's the big
it's
time.
Up to you.
Yeah,
you can dress up for it, too.
Yeah, the cosplay Yeah, you don't have to be in the competition to dress up and come to the ball. I mean, but yeah, definitely, I would encourage you to go ahead and enter the cosplay competition. But yeah, that's Saturday evening, and then the cool. I mean, like I said, we're gonna have Western Kentucky Ghostbusters, the Kentucky Browncoats, the airship Caduceus. I mean, we got some great groups there. They will be in costume during the day. They will be in costume during the day too. So yeah, there'll be a lot of lively stuff during the day.
Yeah, the Browncoats are coming.
Including a 15-foot-high Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, and that's gonna be in as great as hell.
Yay!
Which will be a lot of fun. Yeah, that
I'm the only one that won't be in costume.
Yep.
Yeah.
And Daniel on his penny farthing, biking around the whole place. Because Daniel's first trip to the new venue, because he didn't make it last year.
Oh, my God, it is.
This will be Daniel's first chance to see the long corridor of Creative's Alley and how he can actually penny farthing his way down the whole thing. This would be killer.
Oh, you got plenty of room here. You got plenty of room. Yes. Oh, big time.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Uber amounts of room.
Do the tables snake in the new venue?
Oh, no, because Holly don't do those table setups no more. I quit doing that. I actually have someone that does that now. No more snaking, because that's one thing off my plate, thank God.
Yeah.
Miss Cassandra Morgan handles that now for me. Thank goodness. I love her. Thank you, Miss Cassandra Morgan. Yeah, she I work with her because I'll tell her, such and such needs to be here. There are certain people that I need in certain places. But other than that, she does the setup and the grid and the diagram and all that for me. So that takes
Yeah, some people have requests.
Yeah, the one year I had it all organized in my head, Sandy, that it was going to be like a snake. It was going to snake through there. And so Daniel and me are out there, and we're putting these notepads. I had post-it notes to put the number on the tables. Daniel is like, this is not a snake. I don't know what this is, but this is not. You are all over the place.
This is not a snake.
And I was like,
snake
in my head.
You cut the snake up and threw it in pieces across the room.
In my head, it was all organized.
Yeah.
Oh, but we got through it. But yeah, I do have somebody that is used to doing those things that does that now. So that's one less thing I have to do.
Oh, that helps. Yeah.
It's always good when you have a little help.
Yep.
And Lord knows I need it because I am pulled too many directions.
Maybe you can get Clayton.
So my
only
job the weekend is to make sure you don't kill anybody.
Yeah.
Yes. That is always your
job. Anyway, girl.
Your job is to make me sit down when I need to and to keep me from killing people. And when you're not there, like last year, that was rough. I really, really have to self-control, but I self-medicate it with a lot of alcohol. So that helped. But, yeah, I really needed you last year. Jason William Allen swears I tried to kill him. Ask Jason about it. He'll say, ask Jason. He said he's going to get him a T-shirt if you see me with Holly. Help.
Oh, I thought you held it together real well last year. Last year was, I thought it went really, really well. But then I was a participant and an attendee, so I wasn't fully behind the scenes.
Behind the scenes was smooth. Yeah, the one thing that we got spread a little thin on was attending. We just didn't have the numbers to easily handle the online versus live at the same time.
That was rough for me and Wayne. If I wouldn't have had Wayne, I couldn't have done it.
It went fine. It went fine. That's why we split the two, and that's why we're going to do Imaginarium virtual in late January, and why we are don't do them at the same time.
Maybe do a 2-day conference or something.
Unless we got
I'm not really excited yet.
if we had a mega staff in the future, sure, you can tackle it then. Yeah. But yeah, till then,
yeah, never again.
Keep them separate.
I said never again.
More. Yeah.
Because I literally, I had to organize two conventions that simultaneously ran together. I had to do all the programming for two conventions with hundreds of guests. You know, some of them doing both conventions, some of them only doing virtual, some only doing physical. It was a nightmare. So kudos to whoever could do the co-convention, but it is too much. I mean, it literally put me over the top.
Yeah.
I need a big had all I could take.
Two at the same time. And we're not quite there yet. So doing them separately is going to be good because we're going to have our international guests. And
well, yeah, because I don't want nobody else messing.
People that can't attend physically, you know, we want to have an event for.
Can do virtually.
We definitely want to do it, but we've got to keep them split apart. And have them at opposite sides of the year would be perfect.
Yeah, because I do not want, Stephen knows how I am, I get really, I'm like a mama bear with the programming. I don't want anybody messing with my programming. Because I'm so proud of the programming, and I work very hard on that programming, and I don't want anybody else to mess with it. And so I don't trust nobody else just to take it and do the virtual, you know, on its own without me overseeing that. So, yeah, it was the best choice to do them separately. Yeah, because then I could focus more, and it gives better programming, better, you know, money, well, better, what would you say?
Better value.
More bang for your buck. There you go.
Yeah, there you go.
Put it that way.
Yeah, and just so you all know, if you want to get a little scoop, it'll be a two-day event. It'll be a Saturday-Sunday event when we do the virtual. It'll be we'll not be – the live event, physical event, will be a three, always be a three. Hopefully, you know, maybe we'll get huge, you know, enough that we can do a four-day event. But yeah, as far as the virtual, it'll be a two-day Saturday-Sunday kind of arrangement. So, but we won't get into all that. That's until right after this one gets completed and done well.
I need a break. I need a break, and I got books to edit. So
there you go.
You do.
Oh, you might need a nap. You take a nap in between there.
That's his heart taking me to see Van Gogh exhibit tomorrow. We're leaving out in the morning. We're going to Cincinnati. We're going to stay at Newport, and then we're going to Hofbräu House for dinner tomorrow night. It's going to be cool.
Yeah.
And then he's going to take me to see the jellyfish on Friday before we come home.
Oh, lovely.
We're finally getting to do it, but this is her anniversary / birthday present back in February. Uh-huh. So it's finally coming around.
Yeah, because the Van Gogh exhibit, you know, oh my gosh, if I'd have missed that, I would have just, I don't know, maybe jumped off a bridge. I love Van Gogh, and I just have been waiting for years for the exhibit to come in our area.
Close,
and that's like the closest is Cincinnati. And I've been waiting. I cannot miss this. It's immersive. I'll be able to sit amongst the sunflowers, and, you know, it's just really, really cool. So I'm excited.
Yep. So we've been waiting a while to do it, and I figured it's perfect time because it's exactly 2 weeks from Imaginarium. So it gets Holly forcing her to take a pause, and just because we work 7 days a week right now. So I'm forcing her to do a pause. So hopefully that'll help her get a little refreshed from the stretch run here.
Next week will be crazy.
Hopefully that'll work.
Except for the one weekend, we've got Zimmerfest on the 2nd.
Well, that's my birthday. That's
Stephen's birthday. We always have a big blowout of Zimmerfest.
Yeah, we usually do it on the 4th, but we have to do it on the 2nd because the 4th is way too close to actual Imaginarium dates. And so, we're going to have it on the 2nd this year, which is my birthday. And that's always a fun day. Yes, the bourbon does flow.
Excellent. Good. Good.
I don't have to go anywhere though. All I have to do is go to the back porch. That's it. As far as
we're here.
We're here. So we just grill out and
So, Daniel, if you want to drive several hours to come see us, it'll take you about 3.5 or something, you know. You could come see us and just stay that week with us, and we'll all go to Imagineering together.
Yeah.
I will be open on Wednesday, I think, and be up there Thursday. Let me check my calendar.
Are you coming up on Thursday of Imagineering?
Yeah, I've got a room Thursday night.
No, nice.
Oh, you didn't have to. You could have stayed with us
Thursday.
Thursday night.
We're going to see you Thursday. Fantastic, Daniel.
I could have saved you some money.
Could have, should have,
awesome.
Would have.
I didn't know you were coming Thursday.
Could have, should have, would have. Yeah. Sandy, yeah, if you don't have a room for Thursday, we've got beds. Because my daughter and him won't be in until Friday. That'll save you $100.
Yeah, it will.
Yeah, I've got.
Think about it.
Yeah.
On Thursday on the drive up there, I've got two different Zooms that I'll be doing. And then I'll be up there about 1 o'clock. Probably.
Oh, cool. Nice and early.
Awesome. Well, we'll be there Wednesday.
Check in on Thursday.
Yeah, we'll be there from Wednesday on. So.
Yeah, just give me a holler because we'll be there. Yeah. I'm actually going to bring my bathing suit because I've told Steve, hell or high water, I'm going to take a dip Wednesday night because, you know, there's nothing we can physically do Wednesday evening there, you know. Because they're not going to have everything set until Thursday for me to go through and walk through and check. So Wednesday evening, we can get moved in, get, you know, and chill. Chill before the storm.
Nice. Wednesday, yeah. I'm going to stay with, I've got a cousin who lives in the Nashville area. So I'm making a day of it Wednesday because, you know, I'm driving up with all my stuff. So Wednesday, I'm going to stay with my cousin, and we're just going to do girl stuff. We're just going to hang out and do stuff around
Very
her house
cool.
and stay with her Wednesday. And, you know, it's going to be a nice, calm day.
Are
we doing a Star Chamber on the 6th?
Well, I wanted to talk to you about that. We're not doing it then, but Daniel, me and you got to talk because we're going to do a live Star Chamber. And I would like you to do it with me, and I've been requested me and you do it. We're going to interview Jason William Allen on stage before he performs on Friday night, if you're willing to do that with
crazy
me.
Crazy ideas. Yeah.
Yep.
Cool.
We'd like to do a live Star Chamber. And I thought that would be cool. He said, we'll just kick it back just like the Star Chamber podcast, you know. And chill, and yeah, I just thought it'd be cool. And he said it'd be perfect if me and you could do that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Cool.
No, we're definitely not. The Wednesday of the week. Yeah, we have to. Yeah, that we have to take off that week. That's just a little too much.
Yeah.
Tackle. So we'll do a preview.
Steven's in the background going, "We're not doing it. We're not doing it."
No, we'll do a full preview show next week. In detail about every single thing going on next, you know, at Imaginarium, but yeah, the 6th will be a off day, so to speak. But we'll come right back.
Yeah, we'll be there, and I hope my buttocks is in the pool with a glass of wine. That's where I want to be Wednesday evening.
Yeah, we'll be back the following week. Don't worry, we'll be back the following week. It's
because we'll have the post Imaginarium.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
We'll do that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So.
And then we'll get back right to our regular scheduled program after the post-Imaginarium show.
Right.
We can always figure it out if Steven could show me somehow between Eric Carr and Jason and me and Dan, we could record the show. And actually put it up as a recorded show on the Star Chamber page.
Mm-hmm.
We could figure that out.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. We'll do something fun with that.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that was a cool idea. So we're going to do that for sure as far as the live entertainment goes. So that night you're actually going to get to see Herschel Zond do his Frank Sinatra style singing
so
review.
Cool. You will like that.
Yes, that'll be good.
Oh, he is so good.
I haven't seen that since lockdown.
He could sing very
easily. Yes, he was doing that every evening, and I loved it. I made dinner for Herschel singing.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah. Well, he's going to do that, and then after his gig, then that's when me and Daniel will talk to Jason and Hirsch, and then Jay's going to perform. Mm-hmm.
And then, full concert. So you can rock.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't worry, folks. Yeah, we're going to definitely give you some time to let your hair down and rock out a little bit after that. So lots of fun.
Cool.
Yeah, we definitely have something for everybody this time around, for sure. And, getting about 4 minutes left in this show. So what
Brent
would you like
make
to
it.
Cover? Yeah, it does look like Ren Garcia was our guest tonight, and looks like he's not going to make it, unfortunately.
We'll schedule him to come back.
Family emergency. Mm-hmm. We will. He's got some amazing stories to tell, and we're he so badly wanted to talk to Holly about him, so we'll try to get him back on in July. I'll try to work it out with him for July. But, he's such
there
a great guy. And staunch supporter of the show, too, so... Yeah, buy his books and thank him. But what last things do you think we should talk about, Sandy?
Well, promote. Sandy could promote where to get a hold of her. Daniel could talk about where to get a hold of him.
The workshop, everything. Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, that workshop, so that we can get lots of creative writers in the anthology. So to sign up for that workshop, you got to go to entertheimaginarium.com and look at the workshop and programs tab, because that's the short story marathonarium workshop is at the very end of the workshop and programming tab, way down there at the bottom. It's the last one.
Mm-hmm.
You'll find it. Sign up. And you find me on the web. I am, my God, where do you find me? Anywhere.
Everywhere.
And all my stuff is under my name, Sandy Linder. I don't go by any kind of pseudonym or anything like that on the web. I'm Sandy Linder. Got a website of Sandy Linder Inc. with a K. I'm around. Sandy Linder.
You bet.
You find me.
The genre
there you go.
For us.
There you go. Yep.
Sandy Linder.
Daniel, where can they find the Daniel, the dark one?
On Instagram, you can find me under gentlemen's _ cigars. On LinkedIn, you can find me under Daniel Dark. And email is gentlemenscigars1@gmail.com.
Very good.
Fantastic.
Zimmer, where can they find the Zimmer?
Oh, my God, where can they not find me? I'll tell you anymore. I'm on 500 different platforms. In general, StephenZimmer.com, Stephen with a P-H, Z-I-M-M-E-R.com. I primarily direct folks to, like places like Facebook, as far as StephenZimmer7 is my handle there. Twitter, S-G Zimmer is my handle there. And I'm also on Instagram as well, and that's StephenZimmer7 as well. I'm on a slew of different platforms. So, definitely you can probably most anyone. I love a lot of different stuff. So, check me out.
And I forgot one important one that I want people to go to is on YouTube, Out of the Darkness with Daniel Dark is a YouTube channel.
There you go. Yeah. Daniel, that program, Out of the Darkness, I would like to visit with you about that at Imaginarium. Please don't let me forget.
Oh. All right.
Please don't let me forget.
You know what it's about, right?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I do. We need to chat.
All right.
Very good thing.
Yes.
Very exciting times here in the Star Chamber show. Yeah, thank you, Sandy and Holly. This has been awesome, and there will be a show next week. It'll be very comprehensive, and who knows, Sandy might even decide to call in again. You never know. She might be really inspired.
We'll think of more imaginary and stuff. We gotta talk about.
That's it. So much.
But Daniel, we'll just go ahead and let you take her out because we've covered everything tonight.
All righty. As we've heard tonight, Sandy came in as the trooper she is, or the genre blender that we know her as, and bailed us out of not having a guest on here and having just to listen to me and Stephen and Holly with her, you know, greatness and everything, came in and graced us with her presence tonight too. Should you ever need any help finding out what you're looking for when it comes to creativity, start your own tribe, and you can start it at the Imaginarium. There are people that will be in your backyard and in your corner. And until we have a chance to talk again, this is Daniel Dark signing off.